CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bo Raggio and Tom Joslin, Senior Fellows, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, observing the fall of the Afghan government, the flight of the Afghan government, and what comes next. Importantly, this is fog of war. We cannot do clarity in an ongoing combat situation, which is true in Kabul, true at the Kabul airport. We can speak to the matter of Al-Qaeda and its attendant deviltry, ISIS. I read from the Financial Times in these last days. This is London reporting. Biden, President Biden, cited the near collapse of Al-Qaeda, which conducted the September 11th attacks, for his decision to withdraw. But although a UN report in June said Al-Qaeda numbers had dropped to a maximum of 500, it said the group retained extensive ties with the Taliban and was present in 15 Afghan provinces. A quote from a U.S. official in the FT, if the Taliban does have success, they're likely to have Al-Qaeda operating with them. Experts say the jihadi threat would most immediately be felt in the region, in the countries including Pakistan and India, before Al-Qaeda or the local branch of ISIS, sworn enemies of the Taliban who have a foothold in eastern Afghanistan, could set their sights on the U.S. End quote. Tom, you and Bill and your colleagues for years have documented the close links between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. There were political voices in Washington that did not embrace the obvious. That UN report was a moment for the political voices in Washington to come to terms with Al-Qaeda. What is your understanding now of Al-Qaeda and ISIS operating in Afghanistan or in the Pakistan-Afghanistan border region?
John, look, there are three basic failures that Bill and I have been documenting for years. One was the failure of the U.S. military to really understand the Taliban's rural insurgency, which ultimately was the key to their success on the battlefield. The second thing was that this phony peace process, this idea that there is no military solution, that only that the Taliban was interested in negotiating a political settlement with Kabul. We've eviscerated that many times. But the third key thing here is that the U.S. never understood its enemies in Afghanistan going back 20 years. And a key component of that is they not only did they not really understand the Taliban or what motivated or how it operates or what it was all about, they didn't understand Al-Qaeda, and they didn't understand the Taliban's relationship with Al-Qaeda. So when you put this all together, it was a recipe for failure all along. And the bottom line is you see a lot of people now talking about, including the defense minister in the U.K. and General McKenzie at CENTCOM and others, talking about Al-Qaeda reconstituting or returning to Afghanistan. This language is all sort of off the mark. The bottom line is Al-Qaeda is there. Al-Qaeda's been there all along. We've documented their presence in so many different ways using so many different types of sources, everything from bin Laden's files, which were captured 10 years ago, to operational data and reporting, to jihadi social media, to all sorts of different ways of showing this and showing that the U.S. didn't really understand what was going on there. And you cite the U.N. report. The U.N.'s reporting is much better on this than a lot of what the Pentagon has put out. But the U.N. would be the U.N.'s authors, the authors of that report, would be very quick to admit that they don't really know how many Al-Qaeda guys are in Afghanistan either. And neither did the U.S. military, the U.S. intelligence community. And when you look at this, what you can see is if you add up certain basic facts, certain basic details, Bill and I could build a case, although there are some assumptions in it, that Al-Qaeda has a much larger presence in Afghanistan than anybody knew all along. You could see our piece on the takeover of Ghazni province, for example, a very strategic province that lies on the road between Kandahar and Kabul. It's backfilled with all sorts of data about how Al-Qaeda's had a persistent presence in Ghazni for more than a decade. You can see it now, and we expect that Al-Qaeda in the coming weeks will basically have a coming out party. They're going to have their sort of their Bane moment from The Dark Knight Rises, where they're going to reveal that they were the shadow army all along.
Bill, you have very carefully followed the Taliban's denial for weeks and months and years that Al-Qaeda is operating in Afghanistan. Those denials went to as recent as a month ago. They were still denying it. The denials were not convincing, but they seem to be strategic now that we understand their plan to march on Kabul. Do you still see denials, Bill? Are they still saying Al-Qaeda's not here? This is a Taliban-only victory.
Yeah, John, that's a great question. I haven't seen them mention it, but I think the Taliban is so focused right now on conquering the country and showing that it's the legitimate government. I suspect that the Taliban probably won't even address this issue going forward unless, like, say, the United Nations comes out with something. But it's probably to their advantage to just ignore that issue from this point on. This denial always, you know, was part of the big lie from the Taliban. In fun fact here, the Taliban was intimately involved with this offensive, and it's most seen, like, look, we know they're fighting in the east. We know they were help fighting in the south. But in the north, this is where the Taliban was leveraged its alliance with Al-Qaeda to the greatest. The Al-Qaeda helped the Taliban organize these Tajik and Uzbek and other jihadist Turkestan Islamic Party, Ansarullah, Islamic Jihad Union, Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan. They helped roll them into the Taliban and gave them a more northern flavor and allow them to conduct outreach to local communities. And that's how this offensive, part of the reason why the Taliban's offensive was so successful in the north. It's a perfect example of this Taliban Al-Qaeda integration. And the Taliban will deny it, will continue to deny it. But anyone who has even casually observed this, you can see the relationships. You just, if you don't believe it, we see this with the Taliban apologists and experts in the field, so-called experts in the field. It's because they want to deny it, because they have, they want policy decisions to be made that are favorable to them. And if you can't say, let's leave Afghanistan, at the same time recognizing these deep Taliban Al-Qaeda ties.
Tom, Al-Qaeda has been pointing to the Afghanistan success, anticipated success, for some time. We've spoken about Al-Shabaab in Africa. We've spoken about Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, even Al-Qaeda in the Sahel, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. At this point, in your reporting or your information from your colleagues, do you see Al-Qaeda pointing to this for a general offensive in other theaters? Do we see any pattern that's disrupted or anticipated by Al-Qaeda with the march on Kabul?
Well, what I can say with certainty is you can see that the Al-Qaeda victory media tour has already begun. Even as earlier this month, when it became clear that the Taliban was going to win, we saw statements start coming out from Al-Qaeda figures in West Africa and East Africa and Syria and Yemen. And they were starting to cheer on the Taliban offensive. And I think that speaks to another point here that, Bill and I have rebutted so many times through the years. You know, we've talked about how there are a lot of phony experts in the field who play disconnect the dots between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. That's all nonsense. We can easily rebut that. But they also play disconnect the dots between the Taliban Al-Qaeda alliance in Afghanistan and other Al-Qaeda operations elsewhere. And we've been arguing that that's a mistake. There's plenty of connective tissue between these. And in fact, that the Taliban Al-Qaeda victory in Afghanistan will be a boon for the jihadi cause everywhere. And just to think about this right now, Al-Qaeda's leadership in all the areas I just mentioned, in Syria, in Yemen, in Somalia and West Africa, is filled with veterans of the jihad from Afghanistan the first time around. These are guys who were trained in Al-Qaeda's camps in Afghanistan in the 1990s. They now are looking at this and saying, wow, we lost the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan after 9/11, but it's back. We won. We beat the Americans. And these are the guys who are leading the Al-Qaeda charge in these other theaters. It's very difficult to see how they could not be, how this could not be a boon for their cause and for their morale.
ISIS is said to be a smaller and more alienated version of itself from other theaters, Tom. ISIS is said to be at odds with the Taliban and, I guess, with Al-Qaeda when Al-Qaeda admits that it's present. Do you see ISIS taking advantage of this? I've not seen any reports. It tends to be sectarian battles that ISIS wants to fight. Right now, we're just looking at Kabul, not for attacks on Shia.
You know, look, I mean, this is the point here, John. You just hit on it. You know, ISIS became the shiny new object in counterterrorism circles and for the U.S. military, and they became obsessed with ISIS in Afghanistan, and they were really looking to trumpet any success against ISIS in Afghanistan that they could trumpet. But as Bill and I said, yes, ISIS is capable of mass carnage, of killing a lot of people in Afghanistan in individual attacks, but they're not threatening to take over the country the way the Taliban and al-Qaeda were. And this was one of the many failures on the U.S. military side. The leadership of the U.S. military became obsessed with ISIS while not understanding that the real threat to their end game, the real threat to the whole project, was coming from the Taliban and al-Qaeda, which do remain opposed to ISIS overall. In fact, John, you know, it's interesting. We followed the Arabic literature that ISIS has put out through the years. They have this weekly newsletter called Al-Naba that they put out for many years now, and they've had other propaganda pieces they put out. And ISIS has been very critical of the Taliban al-Qaeda alliance over the years. And I noted on Twitter just yesterday, those critiques don't look so strong today if you're a jihadi. You know, this has been a big intra-jihadi rivalry between ISIS on the one side and the Taliban and al-Qaeda on the other. Well, today, if you're a jihadi who's trying to decide between the two, the Taliban and al-Qaeda look ascendant while ISIS looks somewhat morbid.
I'm speaking to Tom Jocelyn and Bill Raggio. They are senior fellows at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're dealing with the fog of war in Afghanistan, meaning that there is no certainty for the reporting that's coming through. It's filtered by so many hands, and at the same time, the situation on the ground, you cannot say Kabul is this or Kandahar is that. We can speak to the anecdotes that we're receiving around the edges of what happens next in Afghanistan, what happens next in the region. And when we come back, the reporting right now in London and in Bloomberg is of young women at university in Herat or in Kandahar or in Kabul being told to stay home or to go home or not to report to class. That's all we have now. But what else are we watching for? The Taliban in negotiation in Doha often presented itself as different from the late 20th century. Is it? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.